Hey, folks, thanks for tuning in to CBSSports.com College Football Podcast. It is time for week three of the Weekend Picks panel. That's right, where we break it all down, every single top 25 game against the spread. We sort of give you what you may be able to see for yourselves in our expert picks, but this is the story behind some of the picks, and it also gives some of us the opportunity to maybe change something that might have already been published, at least, you know, to fix our own record. So the man leading us off today does not really need a whole lot of record fixing because he is currently leading the expert picks against the spread, and I believe is one of... Yeah, you are the only one. Dennis Dodd and I are at 500 at 23-23, and you are the only one out of Dennis Dodd, Bruce Feldman, Brian Fisher, Tom Fornelli, yourself, Matt Hinton, and me, the only one above 500. So, Jerry Hinton, how does it feel to be the only one with fictional cash in your pocket?
I got to tell you, Chip, I think I can do better. Like, last week wasn't bad, but week one wasn't great. Like, I think I can still improve on things this week. And I got to say, you mentioned the 26-20 record. That ought to be 26-19. I had Florida State in that Savannah State debacle.
I did too!
And we haven't been able to change that on the pick. So just for the record, I'm 26-19. I am not 26-20. But let's get to the picks.
All right, we're going to start out with not what should have. It's still a very big game. It's still the SEC game of the week, kicking it off with Vernon Gary. But obviously, Arkansas hosting Alabama does not have nearly any of the shine that it had. Tyler Wilson health concerns aside, the defense has given up almost, 900 total yards to Jacksonville State and Louisiana Monroe, something like that?
Yeah, they gave up 550 to ULM, so this is not a defense that you really want to try to rely on, especially going up against an Alabama offense. It looks like it's hitting its stride. McCarron looks really good. The offensive line is doing its thing. T.J. Yeldon is clearly going to be a huge star at running back. That Arkansas defense is not going to slow down the Alabama offense. I think the Tide score 40 points in this one. Whether Wilson plays or not, I think this is a blowout game, very similar to Michigan, where the Tide just jump all over them and kind of run away with it. The only question as far as the spread goes, if we've got it on the side at 14.5, it's since been bet up to as many as 21 points, is whether Arkansas can score enough in the second half to get a backdoor cover. I don't see that happening. I've got Alabama all the way.
Yeah, me too. I'm all in on Alabama. Moving to another big, this one an SEC East battle. You got Florida going to play Tennessee, both hanging on there by the edge of the top 25. And interestingly enough, both teams that you put there in that same category. I think I probably gave Vanderbilt too much credit coming into the season. And it seems to be that both of these teams are sort of on the edge of sort of fighting for that third spot behind Georgia and South Carolina, which, not even necessarily for the season, but both teams are building for the future. I kind of see this as a really, really big game. Tennessee favored by 2.5. What's sort of your read on this one?
Yeah, well, I think one thing we have to say, I think the winner of this game is a legitimate SEC East contender. Tennessee has maybe the most impressive, certainly non-conference performance in the SEC East when they beat down NC State. Florida, with that defense, you have to think they're going to be in just about every game they're going to play, Georgia, South Carolina included. So, I'm not ready to say, well, this is the battle for number three. I think.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Honestly, I think whichever team wins this game is going to finish the season ahead in the standings of South Carolina. That's getting maybe a little bit ahead of ourselves, but that's what I'm thinking. As far as getting the pick goes, we've got Tennessee installed as a slight favorite. Honestly, this is one I would stay away from if I was putting any money on. We don't really know how Tyler Bray is going to handle a defense like Florida's. At the same time, the atmosphere is going to be absolutely raucous. Florida handled that pretty well last week, but I think Tennessee's a more dangerous team than Texas A&M. They're definitely going to test them more down the field. In the end, I've got Florida because I think they've got more balance on offense. I think with Mike Gillisley running the ball and Jeff Driscoll quietly had a very good game throwing the ball last week statistically whenever he wasn't getting sacked, which was a lot. But when he got the pass off, Florida was actually very productive. So I think that balance is going to tip the scales in the Gators' favor there.
I think I'm very interested to see how – because you're absolutely right. Florida's got a much more balanced offense, and Tennessee – was able to sling it around against NC State, and they were obviously able to move it last week. And this really will be a defense that will make them flex all their different muscles. Right. Tyler Bray's phenomenal, but he is not going to have enough time to be able to sit back and find receivers like he has so far this season. So good test for both teams for sure. Keep it in the SEC. UAB at South Carolina, the team that Jerry is just – absolutely thrown to the bottom of the SEC East, apparently. No love for old ball coach. But anyway, South Carolina, given they got 33.5 at home favored over the Blazers. South Carolina, especially Connor Shaw, his health condition's iffy. I don't know. I definitely see them winning. 33.5 seems to be a little high, maybe. How are you reading this game?
Yeah, well, this is another one of those cases where, spread-wise, I'm not sure which direction you want to go, because South Carolina has never covered a 30-point spread under Steve Spurrier. I saw that this week. They're 0-4. Never happened. At the same time, UAB has looked awful. Well, they've only played one game, but they lost by 10 at home to Troy, who then turned around and got smoked at home by Louisiana Lafayette. I am not thinking that UAB is a very good team in 2012. So it's, kind of 6-1, half dozen in the other. Which trend do you want to kind of side with? I've got South Carolina covering. I was really impressed with Dylan Thompson last week. They covered against a much better East Carolina team, won that game by 38 points. So I figure, you adjust a little bit, say maybe South Carolina doesn't play as well, but they're playing against a much weaker opponent. I think you end up with a similar kind of scoreline, maybe a 35-point, 36-point win, and they cover.
Got LSU hosting Idaho. The Vandals have been they've been the victims of some brutal beatdowns. You think they suffer another one at the hands of the Tigers, who are favored by 42.5?
Yeah, actually, I was the only one of the experts this week to take Idaho in the points. Les Miles entered the season 2-5, actually, against the spread when trying to cover 40-point spreads, and that fell to 2-6 against North Texas. They were favored by, I think, around 42 points and didn't really get close to covering that. I think this is another one of those games where LSU's not going to make any extra effort. They beat Washington like a drum last week. They've got Auburn coming up next week. I think they're going to put as little effort into this game as possible. And the Vandals, honestly, are not terrible. They were, okay on the road last year, took Virginia to overtime in something of a shock. So far this year they've lost to Eastern Washington, which was at home, which was bad. Eastern Washington's a really good FCS team. Went on the road last week and covered against a pretty good Bowling Green team. So I'm thinking Idaho's got just enough fight in them to keep this under 40 points.
As one of the ones that picked the Tigers, I just sort of see – I see that even when LSU sort of takes their foot off the gas this year, it's with that stable of running backs. I mean, even your third and fourth, even when you're just running the ball, off tackle with your running backs, it's still a phenomenal back. But we'll see there. All right. Got two more. This one you can just hit quickly. Got Oregon and Tennessee Tech. I mean, an absolutely insane off-the-board pick, which, as we've discussed, for some reason is set at 49.5 for us. Where would you set the spread on this one if you were to be the odds maker?
I would probably set it in the high 50s, which actually, not long before we got on the horn here, I checked out. There have been the FBS versus FCS lines that are out there, and this one's, I think, at 55 points, if I'm not mistaken. So not way off from the 45, give or take a touchdown there. I think we all took Oregon. You have to think they're going to cover one of these gigantic spreads one of these weeks. They didn't do it against Arkansas State. They didn't come close against Fresno. But Tennessee Tech is not a good team, even by FCS standards. I have to think Oregon clears 60 points on their side and doesn't allow more than 10 to the Eagles.
And I've been saving this one for last because you did make some pretty good points, and I picked against you. But you got Wake Forest traveling to Florida State, 25.5. And let's go ahead and share with your listeners, what's your pick and what's your reasoning?
I've got Florida State in this one. This is another one where I'm the only one. Everybody else among the expert picks took the points. Wake Forest was lousy in week one. Like, again, this went under the radar a little bit because they won. They beat Liberty, a decent FCS team, 20-17. But to do that, they needed, I think, a fumble return for touchdown or a punt return for touchdown, some defense or special teams score. The offense was really bad. I think finished with under 350 total yards. Just a real slog of a game against a not particularly good team. This is Wake's road opener. They have the big win last week where I think they played against North Carolina maybe a little bit above their heads. I think they come back to earth a little bit. I think Florida State is going to hold them to 7 points, hold them to 3 points. They shut them out the last time these two teams played in Tallahassee. That was a 31-0 game. I don't think Wake scores nearly enough to keep this spread in check. I think this one finishes, 34-3, 41-10. That's a lot of points for Florida State, but I think they can hold Wake Forest in check enough to cover it.
Yeah, the more I started to think about it, and the one thing that you mentioned when we were talking earlier was you also have revenge factor. You've got the factor that with that three-game stretch of Oklahoma, Clemson, and Wake Forest, three losses in a row right there at the beginning of the season, completely derailed what was, this season is last season 2.0, where E.J. Manuel's preseason, right up there for all ACC, the Florida State's picked to win the ACC. And then after that Oklahoma game, everything sort of came apart. The offensive lines are going through a bunch of injuries. You couldn't find anybody to run the ball. And for a team that seems to be rebuilt and retooled, you're absolutely right. They want to just come out there and beat the hell out of Wake Forest, I'm sure. Yeah. One reason I do feel okay sticking by my pick is I'm just sort of putting a little bit on the fact that Florida State hasn't been tested, and Tanner Price and Michael Campanaro, I mean, they've got a pretty good passing attack. If they can catch Florida State sleeping for 10 to 14 points, I definitely feel okay about them covering. But as good as Florida State's defense is, it would not surprise me to see that 31-3, 31-0 type score. I asked Tom and Matt this, but if I'm trying to get Russell Athletic to come and sponsor this podcast, what would be your Russell declaration of for the week three in college football?
I would say my declaration is going to be, this is spoiling my upset bait pick, which you're going to see Thursday or Friday, but I think Utah State goes to Camp Randall and upsets Wisconsin. Certainly covers the 14 points there. Utah State has a fantastic road record under Gary Anderson. Anyways, I think 11-2 ATS when they're a road underdog. So that's a game I'm going to be watching very closely. I think Wisconsin is vulnerable after what they've shown the first 2 weeks, and maybe psychologically a little fragile. So I want to see what happens. That's one of those games I really think is going to come down to the wire and be a really interesting matchup.
He is Jerry Hinnon, and he is our expert picks leader after 2 weeks. Be sure to check out all of his picks against the spread for all the top 25 games. Jerry, I really, really appreciate it, and enjoy it. Big weekend for you, man. Enjoy it.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Talk to you later.
See ya. And welcome back to the Weekend Picks panel. Joining me next is Mr. Matt Hinton. He is the Sunday Morning Quarterback and also Ion College Football blogger. Matt, is there any lock that you've got? What's your lock of the week in your expert picks before we dive into sort of the slate that I've got designated for you?
I'm looking at this the TCU-Kansas game. That game is in Kansas.
I don't know that that really matters, though, because Kansas was beaten last week at home by Rice. So TCU coming in there favored by 21.5. I'm not the biggest TCU fan, but I think the Horned Frogs have a pretty good shot at beating that number.
I mean, that's the thing about Kansas is they went out in week one and it didn't look good, and then they come back, and the same Rice team that, although they were able to put up some points on UCLA in week one, but to lose to Rice 25-24, I'm sort of with you on that one. I've got the Horned Frogs. Let's keep it right there in Texas. The Longhorns traveling to the SEC. They're going to be taking on Ole Miss and Oxford. Right now, Ole Miss is given 10.5 points. What's your pick there, and sort of how do you see it playing out?
I have Texas covering in that one, but I think both teams are a little bit unknown. I mean, both have won pretty comfortably their first two games because they haven't really played anybody. I mean, Ole Miss beat Central Arkansas and last week beat UTEP. So we really don't know about Ole Miss. I mean, they were terrible last year, terrible the last 2 years. I mean, easily the worst team in the SEC, terrible in defense, can't stop the run. You know, now they have a new coaching staff. They've got a new quarterback. I mean, it's really a very different team this year, I think. So I don't know. We really don't know what to expect from Ole Miss. And also just because they kind of shut it down last year. I mean, Houston Nutt was fired a little bit after midseason. You know, the last month of results for Ole Miss really are hard to judge because that team really was in the tank. Texas is kind of unknown, too. They've beaten Wyoming and New Mexico very comfortably. But they, you know, they haven't really asked a lot out of their quarterback, David Ash. I mean, he's been very efficient, hasn't turned the ball over, which was a big problem for him last year. But really, he hasn't been put under any kind of pressure. They've run the ball well. The defense has played well. You know, going into to Oxford is a step up, I think, for Texas and for him. I think, if Texas runs the ball well, which Ole Miss has been very, very poor against the run the last couple of years, they've been okay in their first two games, but again, you know, the competition is not comparable to Texas. So, you know, I think if Texas goes in and runs the ball well, I think they'll be fine. If they don't turn it over, they should definitely cover that 10.5. You know, the question is just how much better is Ole Miss than last year? I wouldn't bet on them being that much better.
Yeah, I'm also sticking with Texas. And I think that the really interesting thing that you'll have here is, you know, while they are sort of at the bottom of the SEC in most categories, it still is, you know, an SEC team, and it will be the first really formidable challenge for that Texas offense. We've known coming into the season that the Longhorns were set on defense, and they've certainly, you know, shown that against weaker competition. But are they the number 14 team in the nation? Now, this is their first sort of chance to really show it. And I'm picking Texas to win by maybe like, you know, two touchdowns, but if they could really make a statement, this would certainly be an opportunity.
Yeah, that's true. Ole Miss has talent. I mean, Ole Miss is not Wyoming or New Mexico, and they've played like it the last couple of years, but they do have players. And, you know, it's early in the year. The crowd's going to be hyped, you know, in Oxford. I think that I do think that it is a legitimate test for Texas, which they need going into the Big 12 schedule because they hit the ground running. They have an off week, and then they've got Oklahoma State, West Virginia, Oklahoma 3 weeks in a row, which is going to make or break their season, so they need this.
We'll move to a couple of ACC Big East matchups, the first of which being number 13 Virginia Tech traveling to face Pittsburgh. The Panthers, which have just looked really lifeless in these first two games, both losses under Paul Chryst. Panthers are given 10.5 points, with the Hokies are favored. I love Logan Thomas. I know that he can do a lot of things very, very well. He just doesn't really seem either comfortable with the new players around him at running back and wide receiver, or maybe it's just taking a while to get on the same page. He's missed a lot of wide receivers. And while I definitely think the Panthers are the superior team, I'm going to ask you, do you think that they're going to be able to cover 10.5 points on the road at Pittsburgh?
I do, mainly just because Pittsburgh has been so bad. I mean, They lost by double digits to Youngstown State. Were pretty thoroughly beaten by Cincinnati last Thursday, although that game could have been closer if Pittsburgh had capitalized on a couple of opportunities they had in the first half. I mean, there were a couple of chances to score that they wound up blowing, which really made that game maybe look a little bit more lopsided than it was. But, you know, Pitt obviously is I think it's looked like one of the worst teams in the country so far this season. I think with the line, it looks like kind of a low line, I think, 10.5. I mean, I think Virginia Tech is an easy pick there, but you never are really sure with Virginia Tech because they, you know, they're conservative on offense. They do have a tendency to let teams hang around. You know, they've never been a high-octane offense to begin with, and they do have so many new players there around Logan Thomas, who is not very sharp against Virginia Tech. He wound up having a good fourth quarter to bring them from behind in that game, but in general didn't have a very good night altogether. So, you know, putting some of those things together, you know, maybe Virginia Tech is not going to put up a lot of points at Pitt, but I just think as bad as Pitt has been the first couple of weeks, I think you have to take Virginia Tech to cover that number.
And I hate it, too, because I know Ray Graham and, you know, like Ray Graham should have been exactly the running back that Paul Christ was hoping for, but I think they've just sort of got a retooled offensive line. It's just it seems to be that, and I'm not trying to point the same finger that everyone's pointing, but there's just not a good vibe around that program right now. And you can blame that on how many coaches they've had and how many, four coaches in 3 years, or you could blame that on just sort of the way Pittsburgh's been trending. But that could and should be a very, very strong program, and it just hasn't seemed that way the last couple, you know, all these Compass Bowls aren't really getting them anywhere.
No, yeah, coaching changes and Compass Bowls are not a good combination. I did think Ray Graham was the one positive for them against Cincinnati. I thought that he was pretty good at that game. He had a long run. He had a good reception that went for a lot of yards in that game. I thought Ray Graham looked fine considering the injury. So, you know, he would be, I think, the one positive on that team right now.
Absolutely. All right, North Carolina, fresh off a 28-27 loss where they really sort of choked and really blew it in the fourth quarter late against Wake Forest. It was a game delayed by weather. It was a little bit weird, but they let Wake hang around. They came back and won, traveling to play Louisville. Louisville really took care of Kentucky, you know, then against Missouri State. This really is, we were talking about sort of a good test for Texas on sort of a different level. I think this will be a very good test for Louisville if Giovanni Bernard, the Tar Heels running back, says he's healthy, says he will likely be playing, and they did let Kentucky run the ball. That could be something that hurts the Cardinals. How do you see that one playing out, and do you see Louisville covering 3.5?
I do have Louisville covering 3.5 just because that is a pretty low line. And really, I don't trust either one of these teams either way. I mean, they're both pretty equal teams. I mean, they're fringe top 25 teams. I mean, I think they're very evenly matched. They're both inconsistent teams who I think could win or lose against pretty much everybody on their schedule in any given week, including one another. Louisville's at home. Louisville's been better so far. North Carolina lost last week to Wake Forest. Teddy Bridgewater, I think Louisville has a good offense there and can put up some points. I really, again, though, I think neither one of these teams has proven that you can trust them either way in any given week. I mean, I think anything can happen in that game. I think just Louisville being at home and, you know, based on North Carolina losing last week, I think Louisville is the better pick. But, you know, I have Louisville covering the 3.5. But, you know, if North Carolina wins that game by 20 points, that would not surprise me either.
Well, I'll tell you that knowing North Carolina's defense, I do not see them winning by 20 points. I think that defense, everybody was very high on them in the fact that they shut out Elon 62-0 and really forgot that it was Elon and that Elon plays in the Southern Conference and doesn't even really win a whole bunch in the Southern Conference. So I think Elon actually one of the longest win streaks in any level of NCAA play was Appalachian State over Elon. They've just absolutely owned them. So it obviously turned around when they faced Tanner Price, and this is even a step up facing Teddy Bridgewater. All right, we've got a pair of pretty big, we at CBSSports.com for our expert picks, a game that would be off the board. We've actually got it 49.5 as sort of the industry standard. Furman at Clemson being favored by 49.5, and James Madison, number 5 FCS team, traveling to play West Virginia. How do you see those two sort of playing out in general? And then I guess at the end, do you see them covering 49.5?
Excuse me. Because we set that line at 49.5. I don't know what it would actually be. I do have them covering just because I think West Virginia against James Madison could put up, 60, 70 points. They put up 69 against Marshall. I watched almost all of that game. It could have been much worse than that. I mean, they could have scored 80, 90 against Marshall if they really wanted to. It was interesting that Dana Holgorsen, West Virginia's coach, took a little shot at Marshall this week by saying James Madison was going to be a tougher opponent. They expected James Madison to be better than Marshall. I don't know about that. I think West Virginia, will go out and score 60. I think the only question in that is, as you said, James Madison is a pretty good FCS team. So maybe they get some garbage time points and come in with kind of a backdoor cover late in that game. Either way, obviously it's going to be a blowout. Whether it's 49.5,
who knows?
I think that's West Virginia. West Virginia is going to put up 60 to 70 points in that game, I think. So I think that is a safe cover. And Clemson the same way. I mean, Clemson has an offense. Sammy Watkins is going to be back this week for the first time. So maybe they go a little bit more to him, give him a little bit more of a show than they usually would against Furman, just because it's his first game back. He hasn't played in the first two. Obviously they've run the ball very well with Andre Ellington the first 2 weeks. So I think Clemson easily again is going to put up 50, 60 points. Just depends on how much they allow Furman to score at the end of that game and whether they cover 49.5. But I think Clemson is a good bet there too.
Yeah, no, I'll agree with you. And on Clemson, I'll sort of follow up with the exact same thing with you said with West Virginia, where there is going to be 50 plus points scored by the Clemson Tigers. That's just a matter of talent, what's on the field, the kind of offense they run, the matchup. My big question, because when they played Ball State last week, I knew Ball State actually puts up a bunch of yards with their offense, and so that's when I was thinking about these 49.5 point spreads. I was thinking, okay, Ball State, yes, they could put up at least, a touchdown, maybe three touchdowns even if you count in garbage time. I don't know if they'll score over 70 points, and so you pick Ball State to cover. In this case, Furman is not going to be able to score 20 points on Clemson, I think, even in garbage time.
I don't know. I don't know anything about Furman's offense. If Clemson puts the third stringers in there, who knows? Who knows what might happen? That's the hard part of picking the spread on these blowout games, is because at the end, those garbage time points can really wreak havoc. I mean, Marshall scored West Virginia first game. Marshall winds up with 34 points into that game. I mean, there's no way that Marshall was within five touchdowns of West Virginia in that game. They get two touchdowns in the fourth quarter. That game's over at the half easily. So, giving up 24 points in the second half was basically all garbage time in that game. I could definitely see James Madison doing the same thing.
All right, and we'll wrap with this one. North Texas, they've already that's another team, the Mean Green. They like to go, and they like to challenge the big boys. Already played LSU, and now they're going to be traveling to Manhattan to take on Kansas State. Dennis Dodd called Kansas State the most complete team in the Big 12 right now. Want to first get your thoughts on that, and then second, do you see them covering 28.5 in what will likely be a Wildcats win?
I don't know that Kansas State is the most complete team. I definitely have questions about I think obviously you have to have a question about their overall talent level relative to Oklahoma, Texas, Oklahoma State, West Virginia. And then their passing game, I think, is still a question too. But I did see them last week against Miami, and I thought that was kind of a revelation. I mean, Kansas State, I have a much higher opinion of Kansas State after that game, which was a blowout, 52-13. Miami didn't score until the very end of that. Didn't score a touchdown until the very end of that game. Last year, Kansas State kind of was the little engine that could. All of the games they won were very close, tight games. They were outgained in a lot of those games. I mean, they had to win by turnovers and kickoff returns and, goal line stands and quadruple overtime. They didn't just go out and just beat anybody, just blow people out. They crushed Miami last week. So I think that Kansas State is a better team than they were. I like Colin Klein a lot. I'm not sure if he's a great passer, but against North Texas, you know, last week I may have said Kansas State wouldn't cover 28.5. This week I think, you know, after beating Miami by 39, I think that's a fairly easy cover for Kansas State.
He is Matt Hinton. You can follow him on Twitter at Matt R. Hinton. You can follow all of his work at CBSSports.com, Ion College Football blog, or over at Sunday Morning Quarterback. Any bold declarations that you have for the coming week that you want to go ahead and get out and put on record?
No, I don't think so. I'm not sure that anyone, given my record against the spread right now, I'm not sure that anyone should listen to my bold predictions.
Well, that's at least honest, and we can thank him for that. Well, thanks so much, Matt. Really appreciate it. Be sure to stick with us after the break. We are coming right back with Tom Pernelli. And welcome back to the Weekend Picks panel. And as you all know, this is his third straight week. Once again, he will be taking us home, Mr. Tom Pernelli. Tom, your picks are pretty good, but I think that the fact that you called Arizona over Oklahoma State on this very podcast sort of makes you the czar of the Weekend Picks panel.
I am the reigning champion, and I'm here to defend my title.
All right, let's get right into it. Number 2, USC at number 21, Stanford. The Cardinal on our sort of counts being given 10.5. I definitely know that I like the Trojans to win, but I'm very interested to see, especially after Syracuse was able to come back and hang tight, do you expect the Cardinal to be able to, in a similar way, sort of sneak back in late and maybe get a backdoor cover?
Yeah, when we had to do our expert picks for the site earlier this week, I had USC covering. But the longer I've had to think about this one, I'm leaning more towards Stanford in the 10.5 because USC's defense really hasn't been that impressive. And coming into the year, we knew it was a question mark because it's very talented on top, but it's not a lot of depth there. And Syracuse was able to move the ball for 455 yards of offense. And yes, some of that came in the fourth quarter when the game was already decided. But still, Stanford's a much better offense with a much better offensive line than what Syracuse has. And Stanford has a history of success against USC recently. So I'm leaning towards Stanford in that 10.5. I don't know if they win again, but I think it's going to be a lot closer.
Yeah, I think that no matter what, when push comes to shove, there's just a ton. There's just more playmakers. You've got that sort of level of talent. You know, Nunes is sort of he's still sort of getting used to everything under center. But, you know, it's at home. They could keep it close. It could be interesting. I agree with you there. I've got Stanford plus 10.5. All right, you got number 20, Notre Dame, traveling to East Lansing, taking on number 10, Michigan State. This is arguably the biggest game. It's the biggest game of the weekend, and especially Notre Dame in the headlines with their move to the ACC coming in all sports but football and hockey. But on the field, you've got the Spartans minus 4.5. Sierra Wood is back, but going up against a very, very good Michigan State rush defense. How are you seeing this showdown playing out?
You know, Notre Dame's living a bit of a charmed life through the first 2 weeks. The secondary, we've known since before the season started that the secondary was going to be a problem. Yet they played Navy in week one, and that's not really not something Navy can expose. And last week, Purdue was having, you know, quarterback roulette with Caleb Turbush and Robert Marv, never allowing either of them to really get into a rhythm and not allowing Purdue to expose the Notre Dame secondary. And this week, I'm not sure Michigan State can either. Andrew Maxwell threw for 250 yards and a couple touchdowns last week, but that was against Central Michigan. And against Boise State, he did not look very comfortable. And none of the Michigan State wide receivers have really stepped up and shown me that any of them, you know, like, taken over that playmaker role for them in the passing game. So I think Notre Dame is going to be able to hang around and will not get exposed on the back end by this Michigan State defense. And I think their front seven can do it. I don't think anybody can stop Le'Veon Bell, but I think they could do a good enough chance of keeping him in check. And just with the history between these two teams of close games that give Mark D'Antonio literally give him heart attacks, I'm going to take Notre Dame plus 4.5 this week.
Yeah, that's one of those things when you're looking at point spreads where, especially at 4.5, you're just thinking to yourself, man, this really feels like it could be a 21-17 game or a 24-20 game that's going to come down to something like last year with a fake field goal touchdown. I mean, just something outrageous like that. I definitely like the idea that it could be close and Notre Dame could cover 4.5. Go ahead.
I definitely feel like this is the kind of game where it's going to be the team driving at the end for the game-winning field goal.
Exactly. Yeah. And any time that you've got that, you know, 3.5 to 6.5 range, if you just think that the two teams are just going to be in that kind of a game, I always like taking the dog as well. Number 12, Ohio State playing host to California, given 16.5. I think California just they've really, really struggled. I know there's talent there. I know, you know, between Keenan Allen and Zach Maynard, they've been able to get that passing game going at times. I don't know if Ohio State's on the road, especially, is going to be a time when that happens.
I'm not going to knock Cody Fajardo here, who is Nevada's quarterback. But Nevada quarterback Cody Fajardo in the first game of the season threw for 230 yards, ran for another 97 in a touchdown. Cody Fajardo is a good player. He's not the same kind of player Braxton Miller is. So if Fajardo could do that against the Cal defense, which gave up 31 points to Southern Utah last week, by the way. Southern Utah. I think Ohio State and Braxton Miller are going to have another big game, and I don't see this one being close in the second half. And I think it's something that the Big Ten needs, particularly against the Pac-12 after last week's debacle. But, yeah, I think Ohio State covers this one and does it easily.
Yeah, three Big Ten teams knocked from the top 25 by Pac-12 teams. One of those Pac-12 teams, number 22, UCLA. You know, Chris Houston, he likes John Franklin as sort of like moving up there in the Heisman race. The Bruins, they've got the big win over Rice, and then, you know, they follow that up last week. Do you see any kind of hangover or letdown with Houston coming to town?
No, actually. I mean, I've watched both UCLA games now this season. I've had the chance to watch both of them closely, and that team just might actually be really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, with Hundley and Franklin, that's some very good talent on offense, and that offense can put up a lot of points and do it quickly. The only concern I have is UCLA's defense hasn't been it's been good, but it's definitely not been outstanding. Rice was able to get to it, and Nebraska got to it, but Nebraska's a much better offense. Still, Houston, did Kevin Sumlin take all the touchdowns with him to College Station? Because Houston's offense has not looked the same at all this year. So I'm leaning towards UCLA -16.5, though their defense does scare me a bit. And I think Houston might finally start getting their act together.
Yeah, Houston started to get back on track, especially after that, you know, the offensive coordinator resigns, you know, everything's sort of falling apart. It's like they're in Wisconsin, or the two knee-jerk coaching changes that we've seen so far. I like Houston to cover, but I agree with you. Just the way that Hundley and Franklin are running those, it seems like Hundley's making all the right reads, and that's perfect because I don't have anything in front of me, but I think Mora's sort of a defensive guy, which makes me think that the defense can improve. And if, as long as the offense has the system and the talent, which is clearly there and has been working, I do like the Bruins' chance. I mean, I like the Bruins basically as the only other team in the South that could potentially shock USC. Because while Arizona and Arizona State certainly have shown the ability to score in bunches, as far as a total team, I think I like the Bruins better than those other two schools.
You know, I agree with you. I think UCLA is going to – I think people are expecting them to go back to what it's been the last years, but I see them continuing winning, and I see them definitely being a factor in the Pac-12.
Number 25, BYU at Utah. It's the Holy War, and BYU, the Cougars, are favored by 3.5. This game's interesting because we've got Jordan Wynn, obviously sort of retiring from football. He's not going to be able to play again. And John Hayes, a senior, I believe, is going to be, I think, the starter. But you know, you've got a talented freshman there. He's a big boy. Do you see Utah being able to get it together with the new quarterback situation, or do you have BYU here?
I'm taking BYU. I remember their opening game against Washington State. We were all expecting Mike Leach and fireworks and everything to be wonderful for the Cougars, but BYU put that one to bed pretty quickly and looked very good doing so. And Utah just hasn't really been that impressive to me. They lost last week, then losing win, which is just terrible for him. I hate to see somebody have to retire this early in their career. But I'm leaning towards BYU, even giving up points on the road. I think they're just the better football team at this point.
Yeah. No, I agree. And BYU's sort of on the come right now. It was a team that they obviously made that statement against Washington State. They're sort of working their way on up. And they'll have the opportunity to have a couple more statement games on that schedule for their first season of football independence. All right, we got three big old spreads. And so I'm going to ask you for give me two sentences on each of these giant spreads. UMass at number 17, Michigan at 45.5.
UMass is absolutely terrible. Michigan just had problems with cut blocks last week. I'm taking Michigan to cover.
South Carolina State at number 24, Arizona.
Arizona beat Oklahoma State for me. I'm not abandoning them now. Taking Arizona.
I mean, that's one I'll say I don't imagine that Rich Rod will ever let the gas up in this first season, because that's one of those I'm using these as extra practice snaps.
Mm-hmm, exactly. This is definitely going to be a game where they're not going to be stopping, which is exactly what I thought they'd beat Oklahoma State last week.
Yeah, exactly. Good call. All right, FAU, Carl Pelini going to Athens, taking on number 7, Georgia. It's 44.5. What are you thinking?
FAU beat Wagner in week one by a score of 7-3, scoring a touchdown in the fourth quarter. Georgia is going to destroy this team.
Yeah, it's not a very good team. Tom, you got any expert upset picks for this week that you want to drop, put on record?
You know, there's not a lot of great upset picks to go this week because the spreads, for the most part, there's not a lot of great games, first of all. And the spreads are kind of ridiculous, but since it counts as an upset, I'm going to take Florida +3 over Tennessee. I'm going to take Florida to win that one outright.
All right. He's got the Gators, and so far he's won for nothing on – hey, let's see if we can get some sponsor to this – for his Russell Athletic Declaration of the Week.
Send me swag.
Yeah, well, it's pretty funny. Russell, for listeners, you should tune in to College Football 360 every day at 10 a.m. on CBSSports.com. Kevin Cork hosts it, and Tom and I are guests briefly on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, but Russell Athletic is that sponsor. And while I've never really coveted a whole bunch of Russell gear, I would certainly love if they wanted to sponsor the podcast too.
I would love to learn to covet their gear.
I could do that easily. All right, Tom, thanks so much. Enjoy the games this weekend.